Welcome to the Key Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Key Beauty, hosted by me, Sugar Peaches, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German and English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. Slightly belated Happy New Year to all of you. 2018 is officially over. I still can't quite believe that. And of course, that means that today we are looking back on all the Korean skincare goodness the past year has brought us. I'm going to talk about all the delicious, beautiful, result-driven, skin and life-changing K-beauty products that made my 2018 extra exciting. So let's start our ultimate end-of-year K-beauty roundup. Guys, welcome back to my living room. Well, okay, you can't actually see my living room, but that's where I record my podcast. Oh, guys, it's so stormy and cold outside. Christmas and New Year's are all over. We're at that weird time of the year right at the beginning where you're still a little bit dazed from all the festivities. My brain always needs a bit of time to adjust to the fact that it's a new year. And it's even weirder because my birthday is coming up and I'm turning 40 and my brain definitely has not adjusted to that reality yet. I don't even know how to process it. But there we are. 2019 is here. And so naturally, I felt it would be fun, hopefully, to talk about all my K-beauty faves of 2018 today as the first K-beauty podcast episode of 2019. All the Korean skincare products that I especially adored this year, with a few non-K-beauty goodies mixed in there as well. Let's call them maybe K-beauty adjacent. To me, at least, they represent the same spirit of effective, high-quality, potent skincare. So I think they still work well. I mean, I'm not too dogmatic about this, despite the podcast being called K-Beauty Podcast. I'm sure you guys forgive me for sometimes talking about non-K-Beauty items, certainly other Asian beauty products, but also the odd niche brand, indie brand. I'm quite passionate about a lot of non-Asian beauty products as well. So for today, I'm going to go through the various skincare routine categories, from cleansers to sleeping creams and sunscreens, etc. And I'll discuss my 2018 favorites within that category. It's interesting because for some of the categories, I instantly knew which product I would choose. For others, it was really hard to decide because there were so many good ones. And for some, I hardly found anything from this year that I really liked. I also didn't really try that much new or exciting makeup this year, so there isn't that much to talk about when it comes to makeup, to be honest. I do wear makeup and I do love using it. I think it always seems like I don't, both from my Instagram and from this podcast. I predominantly seem to be talking about skincare, at least in recent months. I've mostly focused on skincare. It's funny because when I started getting into beauty when I was a teenager, it was all about makeup, but I find the older I get, the more interested I become in skincare. Nevertheless, I still have a strong love for makeup. I just don't find that many exciting things anymore. With my budget being what it is, I also can't just keep on buying all the new releases. And I don't get that much PR at all when it comes to makeup, so there just really isn't much I've tried. So anyway, it's mostly skincare today, really. I might be mentioning one or two makeup products I really liked at the end of the episode, but mostly it's about skincare. I'm also thinking it could be fun to do a follow-up episode on my craves of the year for 2019. So everything that's basically on my radar at the moment, on my wish list, things that I expect for 2019 to launch, or I've already heard about them, or things I've been eyeing up for a while and might finally end up purchasing. I don't know. Would you be interested in that? I think it could be a fun next episode. We'll see. Oh, and also, since I'm basically talking about faves of the entire year today, I'm just going to skip on the faves, craves, and misbehaves of the week. I think otherwise it's a bit of an overkill. I hope you understand. All right, let's jump into the first category for my faves of 2018. And of course, it's cleansers. Now, funnily enough, this is one of the categories where I didn't really make that many new discoveries, especially when it comes to Korean or even just most Asian products. Somehow I didn't find many exciting cleansing products this year from Korean brands. My favorite low pH cleanser used to be the Sum 37 Miracle Rose Cleansing Stick. But of course, rest in peace. That one is now permanently out of stock. They won't reproduce it. I just finished off my last bit from a cleansing stick I bought right before it went out of stock. And I keep holding on to the packaging. It's very hard to let go because it was so perfect. Now, I did discover some lovely new cleansers. They just aren't K-Beauty. I'm still going to tell you about them here because I really love them and I think they are worth mentioning. And I also think if you do like Korean beauty, then I feel these will really work themselves seamlessly into your routine. Sorry, by the way, if you're hearing any sirens in the background. Apparently there's something going on in this city today. There's a lot of ambulances going back and forth. I live close to a very important main street here in Freiburg, so whenever there's a hospital emergency or a fire or anything, they usually use my street. So you might be hearing something. I just caught it, but I don't want to cut it all out because it means I have to always re-record. So I just wanted to say sorry if any siren background noise. I try to catch it in time, but sometimes it might slip in. All right, back to cleansers. So for oil-based or first step cleansers, I really mostly relied on old favorites. It was my trusty Hamish Oil Clean Balm, which I just repurchased. It's on its way, thankfully, because I've used up my tub. I really just still love it. I don't necessarily need something new in that category. I'm always curious to try new cleansers, but on the other hand, especially for oil cleansing, there's so many hit and misses. It's hard to find something amazing, and I'm super happy with the Hamish. I also still like the Vanilla. I might actually get this one next time. I'll have to see, just because I sometimes do get tired of always using the same thing, but the Vanilla one is great too. Haven't tried the new reformulation yet, so I don't know yet if that one is as good as the original one, but those would be my main choices. And then there is a German drugstore brand called Balea, and they make a cleansing oil that is very basic, very minimalist, sometimes a little bit boring, but it does the job, and it only costs something like €2. It lasts forever. It does its job well. So I use that a lot as well, especially if I'm short on money. So those have been mostly the ones I grasped throughout the year. Now, the one fantastic first step cleansing product I newly tried and adored, I have talked about this before on the podcast, I think last episode, is the Norwegian Marina Miracle Sweet and Creamy Oil Cleanser. Now, this is a probiotic cleanser, and I'm pretty sure I did mention it in the episode on autumn skincare. I just finished it. Unfortunately, I won't be able to repurchase it because it costs something like €50, but I loved it. It's so pleasantly creamy, but not greasy at all. It doesn't feel oily. It's more like a fluid or lotion. Once you put it on dry skin, and then you splash on water, and it turns into this liquidy milk that really just dissolves. Maybe not makeup. If you have strong makeup, this won't work. But if you have normal makeup and or sunscreen, then this works really well and just leaves your skin feeling very soft. I adored this one. Wish it wasn't quite as pricey. If you are looking for a gentle, not too greasy, first step cleansing fluid, and if you love organic skincare, then I can really recommend this one, as long as you have the budget for it, because it is a little bit pricier. Now, for second step cleansers, I made one massively amazing skincare brand discovery this year, which still gets me giddy with excitement. Really one of the best second step foaming cleansers I've ever tried. I've tried a lot, so this is really saying something. Again, I have talked about this before. I will probably continue to talk about this cleanser for a long time because it's fantastic. And it's, of course, the Lioba Soft Clouds Micellar Cleansing Foam, which, again, I have mentioned before. It's just so good. It's so gentle. It's very soft. Very skin friendly, low pH, very high quality, gentle, non-stripping cleansing agents. I feel even the most sensitive skin will probably do well with this cleanser. I have used it even on my eyes. This is always my strength test. If I can use it around the eyes, a foaming cleanser, and my eyes don't get watery and red and crazy, then this is an exceptional product. And this one, I can even open my eyes and look straight into the mirror and even wait a little bit and I can see the foam around my eyes, but it doesn't feel at all like it's tingling or getting into my eyes. I really don't know what's in there. Well, I do know because I looked it up, but there's something magical about this that makes it so gentle. Lioba is a German indie brand. It's only just started out, so it's a skincare startup. I hope it will continue to do well. Again, I think the prices might be a little bit much for the average consumer, and I'm also not sure if they will expand. Their website is in English as well, not just in German, so you can at least get some information. But if you're from Northern America or some other non-European country, I'm not 100% sure you can get this. I will link it, however, and maybe you can get in touch with the brand. Truly highly recommended cleanser. I feel it could be one of those breakout products for the brand, for people to get to know it. Just fantastic. And now on to the next category, which is wash-off masks. I haven't really tried any new wash-off masks this year, to be honest. So my favorites for 2018 are pretty much the same as for 2017. But since there was no K-Beauty podcast in 2017, I'm just going to shamelessly recycle my favorites from that year here. Truthfully, they pretty much stayed my faves anyway, so that works well from my point of view. I hope you won't feel cheated or anything. I just really didn't try anything new and exciting in that category. So firstly, the I'm From Real Honey mask is still a big favorite of mine. I actually finished my jar of this creamy, hydrating wash-off mask this year, and I already really miss it in my routine. My favorite way to use this mask, again, I feel a sense of deja vu. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. Basically, I love to mix this with a green clay mask. This works so well for my oily combo skin since it combines the super moisturizing effect of the honey mask with the clarifying and pore cleansing effects of the green clay mask. Perfect. Clay masks can be quite drying on their own, but if you mix it with the real honey mask, this doesn't dry out the skin at all. It also doesn't dry on the skin. You know how it gets dry and powdery if you use a pure clay mask? That won't happen, so you can actually leave the clay mask on your face much longer. It can purify your skin much longer. It's the perfect combo. But of course, you can also just use it as is, especially if you have dry skin. This is the mask to go for because it's very moisturizing. It really has a buttery, creamy texture. You will very much enjoy it. You can leave it on forever. It's a great mask to use when you're taking a bath because it just works well with the steam kind of opening up your pores, and then you can really feel the moisturizing effect of that honey mask take effect. Afterwards, your skin will look like a million bucks. And another wash-off favorite of mine is the Tiam Trouble Drying Pink Bubble Pack. It's a pink clay mask. Again, I'm sure I've mentioned it. This will probably happen a lot with all those favorites because obviously I've mentioned them throughout the year. That's how they became favorites. So it's a pink clay mask that bubbles up once you apply it on your face. You have seen those before. I think the Elizaveca? I don't know how to pronounce that brand. But they have a black pore bubbling mask that a lot of YouTubers have tried. It's a very gimmicky thing, I guess, those self-foaming, self-bubbling masks. But I actually really enjoy the effect they have on the skin. Now, whether or not that bubbling effect, which is mostly caused, I think, by baking soda, whether or not this actually does something to your face, I do always notice that when I use this mask and I wash it off afterwards, that my skin looks a lot calmer and also just less oily and less troubled. I love to use this, especially during that time of the month or right before my period, pretty much. That's the worst skin week for me. Week number 3 in the month. And that's where I really go for clay masks, and especially those bubbling clay masks really make a difference in combating that extra sebum and to make breakouts disappear faster. And it's also pink and pretty and smells really nice. So these are the shallow reasons why I truly enjoy this mask. It also makes for a really good gift, I find, especially for someone who doesn't know K-Beauty that well, to get them into it. Because again, it has this sort of novelty effect of the bubbles on the skin, and it's fun to do, and it's something new that Western beauty doesn't really offer that much. So yeah, especially for a girly girl, the pink mask is great. Tiam also makes a black mask, which is also fantastic. A lot stronger though. So this one I would only recommend for very acne prone, very oily skin. Whereas the pink one, I think pretty much any skin type can use. It's not as stripping and as strong when it comes to reducing sebum and sort of drawing out impurities as the black one. Next up is exfoliants and or actives. So 2018 was the year where I really dived into acids or chemical peels, if you will. It was quite the journey so far. And again, I have to say that K-Beauty hasn't truly given me my faves here necessarily, but I still do adore the by Wishtrend Mandelic Acid 5% Skin Prep Water, which I think I started using in sort of late 2017. Mandelic Acid may just be my favorite acid, maybe together with PHA, which I've also learned to really love. Those two just work wonders on my oily, dehydrated, and often sensitive skin. Mandelic Acid is awesome because even though it's an AHA and has the same effect on the skin as other AHAs, mostly refining skin texture and helping with rough skin, it is also the only oil-soluble AHA, so it also helps clean out your pores and reduce sebum. You really get the best of both worlds with mandelic acid, and it is also more gentle than, say, glycolic acid, which is the most commonly used AHA, because mandelic acid has a larger molecular size. Now, 5% is a lower concentration of mandelic acid, but I can still feel some tingling after I use the by Wishtrend Skin Prep Water. It definitely helps make my skin look less textured, and I also do feel that my pores seem a bit more refined. They don't quote-unquote disappear, because that's not how pores work, but they just don't seem quite as large. Again, it doesn't shrink the pores, but it just refines overall skin texture, and by that the pores do look smaller. So, still love this product. It's very gentle, actually not that pricey for a mandelic acid product. Now, when it comes to higher concentrated acids, you really kind of have to look towards the Western brands, because Korean chemical peels usually are lower dosage. I seem to recall that there is some law or some regulations that won't allow highly concentrated acids in Korea. I feel I've read that somewhere. I hope I'm not making this up. But you do usually get something between maybe 1 and 5% or even lower, something like 0.5% BHA in a toner, for instance. And that can work for daily exfoliation. And certainly if you have a pH adjusting toner, if you want to use it before other actives, basically to prep your skin. But if you do want a really strong refining effect, if you really want that peeling, that cell turnover of your skin to make your skin shed old skin cells, etc., then you do need a highly concentrated Western acid. You almost can't find that in Korea, at least the mainstream stuff that we can get a hold of. So yeah, my favorite acid peeling brand is a European one that, again, I've mentioned here before. You also see it a lot on my Instagram account. It is the Hungarian indie brand Geek & Gorgeous. Their Cheer Up exfoliant with BHA and mandelic acid is a game changer for any skin struggling with a rough texture and annoying oiliness. Again, the power of mandelic acid. It's super highly recommended. I just love it. Unfortunately, it's quite hard to get outside of the European Union. I hope they will be able to at some point ship outside of the EU as well, but they are still a small brand and they are doing their expansion quite slowly. So they're also adding more and more products. I think we will see a lot more from them. Keep your eyes out for them. If you live in the European Union, make sure to check out their website. Fantastic products. Now, when it comes to my absolute number one favorite chemical exfoliant of 2018, I do love the Cheer Up, but the one that I love almost more is the Geek & Gorgeous Calm Down exfoliant. This one contains BHA and PHA. Now, PHA is an extra gentle acid. It is especially good if you have sensitive skin. I think, but please don't quote me on that, but I think it's one that you can even use if you have rosacea, but double check that. I might be talking out of my behind here because I don't have any sources in my head, but I feel this is the one that you can use even if you have aggravating skin conditions because it's so gentle. What I find with this one, even more so than with the mandelic acid peels, is that it makes my skin so glowy. It just gives this glow. I'm guessing it's the PHA because I don't have it with any other acid, that you have this noticeable lit from within glow. And it's also so gentle that I can pretty much use it every day, which is quite rare for me when it comes to acids. I always have to be very careful not to over exfoliate. I don't know if my skin is especially thin or what exactly it is. It can happen very, very quickly for me that suddenly my skin looks all red and over exfoliated. Not so with this product. I've been using it pretty much every day. I've almost used up my second bottle by now for, I don't know, the past 3 or 4 months, and so far nothing has happened. It's only ever if I switch to another exfoliant that I have to be careful again. So yeah, clear winner of the category exfoliants, with honorable mention of the Cheer Up exfoliant and of course the mandelic acid skin prep water by Witch Trend. This is always weird to say. All right, and on to toners. Now this is the category where K-beauty well and truly shone this year. I could not for the life of me decide which products to choose here because I tried a bunch of wonderful Korean and Japanese hydrating toners this year. I finally narrowed it down to 3 toners that I especially loved. The Claire Subtle Preparation Unscented Toner was an absolute highlight in 2018, and it was one of my favorites. I would say it's a holy grail, basically. I would almost go so far as to say it surpasses the original Claire's toner, although that one still holds a special place in my heart, probably forever, because it was one of the first toners, hydrating toners from Korea that I tried and finally understood how exceptional and special this particular category is of Asian hydrating toners. The Claire's Unscented Toner was my go-to toner during the heatwave in 2018. It replenished lost hydration beautifully while feeling very lightweight and unobtrusive, if that makes sense. Even in extreme heat and humidity, it never felt too heavy or sticky or anything. It just sinks very readily and deeply into your skin and gives moisture without feeling like it's just annoyingly sticky or tacky, as many hydrating toners can be actually. Now, I do feel that this is a lighter toner that will probably not be enough if you have very dry skin, unless you put on many layers of this toner. It just is not very rich overall. I also think that it's not enough for me, especially in winter time. This is really more of a lightweight summer product. Now, a surprise hit for me when it comes to K-beauty toners this year, or the last year, see, I'm still in 2018. A surprise hit was the Too Cool for School Egg Essential Fluid. The German distributor of Too Cool for School actually sent me a couple of the egg products. This was my first time trying them, and I've been impressed. I'll be honest, I was kind of skeptical if this whole line wasn't just a style over substance kind of product that, you know, teenage girls would like because it looks cute and kind of funny, puns with eggs and the names, etc. I wasn't sure about it, but this is a really, really good toner. I've almost used it up. I am considering repurchasing it because I've enjoyed it tremendously. Now, it's not as viscous as the Claire's toner. It's more liquidy, more watery, but this has a milky texture and it feels so hydrating once you apply it. It's enriched with oils and even shea butter. I don't know how they put the shea butter in it without it feeling greasy or without it getting thicker, but they somehow manage, and you can really feel the richness of it. But I never felt that it broke me out. Well, it definitely didn't break me out because you can see it. I never felt that it made my skin greasy or oily or anything. It's just super hydrating, super pleasant, very, very close second to the Claire's toner, I would say. And I think better suited if you have drier skin. I have to mention a third toner here, which I liked, I would say, equally well to the Claire's toner. All of these three are so close to each other, I just couldn't pick a favorite, basically. They all do something slightly different, and they all do it exceptionally well. The Wamisa Deep Rich Toner, of course, it needs to be mentioned here. I cannot stop raving about this. And it's just probably the one that offers the deepest and most intense hydration at the moment with the shitty winter weather. Am I allowed to say shitty, or is it instantly an explicit rating for the podcast? I'm not sure. I hope it's okay. With this very bad weather at the moment, this is the toner that I reach for the most. It has a much thicker, gloopier texture than all the other K-Beauty toners. I still don't find it too heavy, even though it does take a little bit longer to be absorbed by the skin, because it does contain oils. It does contain a very rich base of hyaluronic acids and plant extract, fermented extracts. But once it is absorbed by the skin, it doesn't leave any tackiness or stickiness, and it just really has a very strong plumping effect. A lot of Germans that don't really know that much about K-Beauty seem to actually think it's more like a serum, so they use it as a serum. And I kind of get that, because it almost feels as rich as a hydrating serum. It's beautiful. Next up is essences, and well, this one is going to be highly predictable if you have listened to this podcast throughout the year. Of course, I have to choose the Secret Key First Treatment Essence Rose Edition here. It remained my number one first treatment essence throughout the year, though to be fair, I haven't tried that many other ones. I hope I can try a few more this year to have a stronger sense of comparison. The only first treatment essence that I know quite well as a form of comparison would be the Misha one, was it the moist one? I think I tried the original one. And I think the Misha one is great, but I think the Secret Key one is just a little bit better, and also it's much cheaper. So just to clarify here, because the category of essence is always a bit confusing, to me an essence is a first treatment essence. So a watery texture with fermented ingredients. Everything else that an Asian brand might label as essence, to me is either a serum or a toner. So you may see me mention other quote-unquote essences under the other categories, just so you don't get confused. For me, an essence is a first treatment essence. So anyway, the Secret Key Essence Rose Edition was just so perfect. It's free from any harsh ingredients. It has hydrating rose water, skin-brightening galactomyces, and as I said, a fair price, even though they've raised the price a little bit, probably because it's become so popular, but it's still highly affordable. Usually FTEs are very expensive, like the SK2 one. So really, what's not to love? It will be very difficult for any other product in that category to dethrone this particular essence. Definite favorite of 2018. Right, and on to serums, which is probably one of my favorite K-beauty skincare categories besides toners. Here we have a so-called quote-unquote essence that to me is definitely a serum, and truly a perfect serum at that. This one really blew my mind this year. I keep debating whether I should just charge my credit card and repurchase this, even though it is a bit out of my current skincare budget. I just miss it so much ever since I used it up. My skin has been craving it, I swear. So the one that I'm talking about is the Etoclassic Real Tonic Soothing Origin Essence. This is a clear favorite when it comes to the best serums of 2018, for sure. Hardly any other serum managed to surpass this Hanbang beauty, which is packed full with herbal extracts that had a noticeable brightening and smoothing effect on my skin. This transparent gel had no fragrance, no alcohol. It just felt like pure, unadulterated hydration. My skin seemed to just drink this up with joy. I really enjoyed this. I reviewed this extensively on my blog, so I'll make sure to link the review on my in the episode notes, which you can as always find on my blog. Now, apart from this clear winner of the favorite serums of 2018 category, an honorable mention also has to go to the Geek and Gorgeous 101 Serums HA5. These are hyaluronic acid serums. There is a rich and a light version, but if you read, again, I have done a blog review of these. If you read the review, you will see that I couldn't really find a difference between rich and light. This was my one quote-unquote problem with those serums, that I tried everything, I really did, tried everything to distinguish them, but I just can't find a difference. But they're both excellent. So, I don't know. They cost the same as well, so it's really hard to recommend one over the other. They're both great. They just seem, to me, pretty much identical. And next up is Ampoules, which is another extra delicious key beauty category. Don't you think so too? Korean Ampoules are magical in my eyes. They offer targeted, highly potent ingredients for any skincare concern we may have, and often for a really decent price point, given how potent they are. And compared to other Western products, I don't know, Estee Lauder serums, etc., just so much more affordable. So a clear winner for me in this category was the Yigyum Yal B5 Ampoule. I keep seeing German skincare bloggers rave about the French pharmacy La Roche-Posay Yalo B5 Concentrate, which is also an ampoule-style product, and I just feel that the Yigyum one is far superior, and they're pretty much equally priced. Both ampoules are meant to hydrate skin thanks to hyaluronic acid and panthenol, amongst other ingredients. I just find the La Roche-Posay ampoule far less hydrating, and also it doesn't have such a nice, thick, gloopy consistency as the Yigyum one. The Yigyum one is so much richer, and it seems to be so much more intensely hydrating to me. Now, another product that is labeled as a serum, but to me it's much more of an ampoule due to its highly potent mix of redness and oiliness targeting ingredients, is the excellent, sadly still unfairly overlooked by the global overall skincare community, Organic Chops Centella Asiatica Serum. Again, do make sure to read my full review of this product on my blog, and again, I will link it in the episode notes, but let me just say here for the record that this serum was such a game changer in soothing my overheated skin during the summer. It is one of those products that really helped my skin survive the heat wave relatively unscathed. It just helped to clarify and refine my complexion, and it's also very moisturizing. I haven't tried the skin, I don't know if you say 1004 or 1004, Centella Ampoule. So many people rave about this. It's one of those cult classics when it comes to Centella products. But I have to say, I'm still pretty confident in saying that the 1004 Centella Ampoule probably doesn't hold a candle to the Chops one. If you want high quality Centella goodness and pure organic ingredients in a lovely minimalist gel formulation, free from any artificial scents, any fragrance, it doesn't have essential oils in it as well, no alcohol, just do give this a try. It's great. I wish it would become more mainstream because it deserves a lot more recognition. The whole brand Chops has been a revelation for me personally. It's so hard to find organic skincare from Korea. Wamisa is becoming more mainstream. I feel Chops is equally as good, if not even better in many respects. Apart from Centellica Asiatica leaf water, this also contains green tea extract, tiger lily extract, Baikal skullcap extract, chamomile extract, and my beloved skin brightening licorice root extract. They're all helpful in calming skin irritations and sensitivities, as well as providing skin smoothing and firming action. It has everything that anyone could need. I do think it works best for oilier skin types, as it's not that hydrating. If you are redness prone and have dry skin, then this definitely also works as a sort of targeted ampoule style treatment. Just don't expect it to hydrate skin too deeply. It is moisturizing, it is hydrating, but probably not enough as a sole hydrating layer if you have dry skin. For oily skin, oily combo skin, it's perfect. Next up is everyone's favorite K-beauty category, and that is of course sheet masks. Now, this is always a difficult category to decide favorites for, since I try out a lot of masks. It's easy to try out a variety of masks because a single one doesn't cost that much. And I do have a tendency to like most of them. It's very rare for me to really severely dislike a sheet mask, because even the cheaper ones usually do a good job of providing basic hydration. Maybe maybe I should just raise my standards. I don't know. But yeah, as long as you don't make my skin itch, burn, or just don't do anything at all, which can happen with cheap sheet masks. But as long as you provide the basics, I'm pretty happy. This year, however, or the past year, I have to stop saying this year, last year, there were some clear winners when it comes to sheet masks, for sure. Firstly, the fantastic Claire's Midnight Blue Calming Sheet Mask was a definite number one this year. If I had to choose only one sheet mask as a fave of the year, this one would probably be it. Now, at first, after using this for the first time, I felt kind of about it. Neutral, I would say. But then I really noticed how using it when my skin was freaking out. For instance, again, right before my period, my problem week, it would noticeably calm down and clarify my skin. This black mask gives skin just a lovely overall glow. It's not super dewy. It's just kind of subtle. It's a subtle, glowy finish that I find very flattering. It's really one of those masks that you can use and afterwards you almost feel like, huh, I don't think I need any makeup, because your skin just looks overall smoother and not too oily, not too greasy. Sometimes when you use richer sheet masks, you get that... How do I describe this? It's not oily, but it's like a slickness, an oil slickness. Everyone who uses sheet masks hopefully knows what I'm talking about. This one does not do that. If you have oily skin that is also dehydrated, this is the perfect mask for you. What is also amazing about this is that I feel it's one of the rare sheet masks where using it doesn't just produce a short-term effect, but the effect, which is mostly plumping and balancing and hydrating, it's a long-term effect. When I use this at nighttime, so I often use this in the evening, this is kind of when I sheet mask, and then wake up the next morning, I wake up to skin that looks more moist, it looks healthier, it looks less aggravated, it also seems to calm down redness. It's a great mask. I also actually really liked the other new Claire's mask, the what's it called? Soothing, rich, soothing, moist, or something like that. The one in the white packaging. I just think that the midnight blue one is that little bit extra special. If you do have dry skin, I think you can still use the midnight blue one, but I feel that maybe the white one, the rich moist one, is a tad more deeply hydrating. So maybe go for that one instead. But technically, I would say the midnight blue calming sheet mask should work for all skin types. Another sheet mask I truly adored is the eNature Cica Herb sheet mask. I didn't actually expect to love this as much as I did after, I'll be honest, the eNature Green Squeeze Water gel didn't impress me at all. The Cica Herb mask, however, is great. It just seemed to really help soothe my skin and make it look less inflamed and aggravated. This one is great for any of you who suffer from breakouts and dehydration at the same time. It hydrates and seems to also heal inflammation, calming down areas where I struggle with breakouts during hormonal flare-ups. It's a great mask and it's quite affordable. Clear winner from last year. And lastly, the Neogen knit masks also get an honorable mention here. They are a bit strange to wear. I do feel this serum that the thick sheet is soaked in is also usually wasted unless you leave the mask on for literally hours, because there's so much essence. It's a really heavy mask when you take it out of the packaging because it's just laden with essence. But this, of course, is also the reason why it's such a great mask, because it is so drenched in essence. You can leave it on literally for hours, which means that if your skin is completely dehydrated, or if you just want to prepare your skin for a special event, you want it to look especially amazing, this is the mask to go for. This is the pre-date mask, the pre-event mask, the my skin looks tired and sallow. It's plumping, it's super moisturizing. It will really transform your skin. Bit difficult to sometimes put on. Also, don't show yourself to people because you look like a crazy person, some mass murderer with a mask on. but it is worth it because to me, it's one of the most moisturizing, most deeply hydrating, most intense moisture providing masks that I know, especially the white truffle one, the yellow one. Fantastic mask. Nothing like it comparable to this on the market. Really special and worth it, I think. They're actually not that expensive. Now, next up is eye creams. This was almost my favorite category this year. I discovered not just one, but two gems. And this despite my sensitive eyes and usually having a real problem finding good eye products. It's a miracle. Now, I know that many people and yes, many skin experts stress the fact that eye products are pretty much unnecessary. But I have to say, I don't really care what anyone says because for me, they are necessary. And I have tried to live without them and it did not work out well for me, so I tend to trust my own skin more than experts in that regard. I cannot just put a normal moisturizer under my eyes. The oils and the creams will make the eyes go super red, especially overnight, and usually I get fun things like milia or contact dermatitis. What works for the rest of my face very, very rarely also works for the eye area, and that's just a fact and a truth I have learned to accept. So yeah, I am a fan of eye creams, or rather eye gels, since very heavy creams around the eyes are usually a total no-go for me, with some very few exceptions. Now, do I think everyone needs a special eye product? No, of course not. If not using one works for you, more power to you. I really don't tend to be dogmatic about skincare. What I talk about on my blogs, what I believe works for my skin, what I believe can work for a lot of skin types, I would never pretend that it's the only way to go. I think everyone needs to find out what works for them. Again, for me, not using eye cream has not worked. That being said, let's move on to eye care gem number one from 2018, and that is the Huamisa Eye Essence. This one is so delicious. The texture is that of a gel, but it's a richer gel. It's not really watery as such, or jelly-like. Its texture reminds me of the Clinique All About Ice Cream, if you know that one. It's a gel, but it does seem to have a noticeable oil and water type formula, so definitely a lot richer. Maybe it's because of the fermented ingredients, or maybe it's the fact that it has a high amount of skin brightening licorice root extract in it, or maybe it's all the hydrating ingredients such as hyaluronic acid. Maybe it's all of the above. Whatever it is, this eye gel noticeably brightens my under eye area and seems to help decrease swelling. Now, I'm not saying under eye circles and bags magically disappear. No cream or gel can do that, sadly enough. But it does help to decrease the appearance of both. It also seems to smooth out those annoying little wrinkles I get, especially in wintertime around the eyes. Of course, they are a sign of the 40s. He's fast approaching, but it's also a sign of dehydration thanks to the colder weather. My under eye wrinkles are always more prominent in winter, and the Huamisa Eye Essence helps a ton in diminishing the worst of that. Now, lately I've started layering another eye product on top of the Huamisa Eye Essence. Eye care layering, I think it should become a trend because I'm slightly obsessed with it. So the second eye care favorite of 2018 is the Eye Balm or BOM Ultra Time Renewal Eye Essence. It really is the perfect companion for the Huamisa Eye Essence since it layers beautifully on top of it. I have talked about this one before. I still love it. I use it every day, morning and nighttime. Luckily, it's a 30ml product, so it will hopefully last for a much longer time. Another one that I would consider getting into debt, repurchasing it, because it has become an essential staple. So, so good. It's very light, but it's still super moisturizing. It's not greasy at all. It's more like a serum. I thought at first it would have an oily texture. It doesn't at all. It's not even tacky. It's a tad sticky, but then when you apply it and you only need a tiny amount, it instantly sinks into the skin. It's absorbed really fast, doesn't leave a residue. So beautiful. It just gives my under eye area this extra boost of hydration, and it works super well, especially at nighttime, in sealing in the goodness from the Huamisa Eye Essence. For me, this is the most perfect eye care combo I've ever tried. Highly recommended, you guys. And onto another exciting category, which is moisturizers, so creams, lotions, emulsions. This is again a category where I had trouble picking favorites for the year. I tried out a lot of great products. Korean beauty just offers so many wonderful textures, formulas, and effectively moisturizing products for daily face care. It's always hard to pick a favorite. So I settled on three moisturizers that particularly impressed me this past year. The first one was another surprise hit from Too Cool for School, the Egg Mellow Cream. It was, as I said, sent to me as a PR sample, and again, I was pretty skeptical, just as much as with the Essential Fluid. But it turns out it's a really great cream. It does have what can only be described as a mellow texture. It's almost like, I don't know if you know that Italian dessert, it's an egg dessert, a zabaione. It reminds me of that texture almost. It has a slight stretch to it when you move it between your fingers. This is because it contains collagen threads that have been worked into it. It also contains ceramides and lots of brightening ingredients. It doesn't feel as heavy though than many other ceramide creams. They are usually aimed more towards drier skin types, so I actually find it hard sometimes to find a ceramide containing cream that isn't too heavy for me, too rich for me. This one fits the bill perfectly. If you have combo skin with dry patches or dehydrated skin that doesn't do too well with heavier textures, then this is a clear recommendation to you from me. For me, it's been working magically well, even during summer, where I was always afraid to use heavier creams. This one has been so great. And it also smells really nice, which I know shouldn't be a factor for good skincare, but it's nice. I just love the smell of this. So comforting for some reason. Well, next up in the category of moisturizers and the best moisturizers of 2018 is the Igyam Hope 5 Alpha Control Cream. Guys, this one just has one of the most gorgeous textures of all creams I've tried this year. Maybe of all creams ever. It is like vanilla custard. You know what? Skincare products that look or feel like food seems to be a trend. Should we talk about this more? I don't know. I'm here for it though. I'm all for that. I like deliciousness in my skincare products. So yeah, this one has a custardy, creamy texture. It looks like vanilla custard. I'll see if I can add a picture in the episode notes, a close-up of the texture, because it is hard to describe. Delicious is the best attribute to use for sure. The Igyam Hope 5 Alpha Control skincare line is meant specifically for dehydrated, oily skin types. As I've said before in this podcast, this is such a difficult skin combo to find products for, so thank you for Igyam for thinking of us suffering from this annoyance. This is a very light gel cream. So if you have dry skin, this is not the cream for you. It is fantastic for oily and oily combo folks, especially in summer, because it does hydrate deeply, but also controls excess sebum. It gets absorbed by the skin super fast, and it has zero stickiness, zero oiliness, and thanks to a bunch of intensely hydrating ingredients, it will leave your skin plump and smooth. Now, I had to include one more moisturizer here because it brought me so much joy, especially at the beginning of 2018 when we had this crazy bad weather spell, when we got snow and frost in March, which is unheard of. That was crazy. Basically, you could already see the cherry blossoms coming out and they died because of the snow. I have images of blooming trees covered in snow. Completely insane. But anyway, the Holika Holika Good Sera Super Ceramide Cream is a more affordable version of the Dr. Jart Plus Ceramide Cream, if you know this one. I feel it's just as good. It's almost buttery in texture. A bit like, again, I'm having a food comparison, but it's a bit like mayonnaise, actually. It's definitely a richer cream, but even so, my skin never felt overladen or too greased up with this. It's still quite a delicate cream that mostly just provides intense hydration and nourishment. It's like a creamy, rich emulsion. This is a great cream for dry skin all year round. Ceramides whites really are a godsend for anyone suffering from dryness, and it can support even oily skin types in winter. Or if you have problems with dry patches throughout the year, this one will never feel too heavy, but it does give you rich and intense moisture. The next category is face oils. I love face oils, but actually this year I didn't try that many new ones. Only one face oil really wowed me enough to be mentioned here, and it's another Wamisa product. Again, no surprise if you've listened to this podcast, and certainly no surprise if you follow me on Instagram, because I keep showing it in my skincare routine posts. The Wamisa Organic Flowers Facial Oil has really impressed me. This is a rich oil for sure, but it has a dry oil texture, reminiscent of French pharmacy oils such as the Nux Huile Prodigieuse or the Caudalie Huile Divine, if you know those ones. It is a blend of both rich and more lightweight oils such as argan oil, pumpkin seed oil, camellia seed oil, which I love, and it has a mix of fermented ingredients that help brighten skin and even out rough skin textures. Whenever I use a few drops of this oil overnight, I always wake up to extra dewy, healthy looking skin. It really seems to boost my skin's radiance and plumpness. I do prefer to use this overnight. It is a bit rich for me to be used during the day, but in general, I don't really use face oils during the daytime anyway. It's just too much for my skin type. My current favorite thing to do at nighttime is to mix 2-ish drops of the Wamisa face oil with a hyaluronic acid serum. I'm loving the Vichy, I think it's called Mineral 89. The Hyaluronic Booster or something like that. And of course the Geek and Gorgeous serums. And mixing them with the oil really helps dissolve the richness of the oil and makes it more readily absorbable. I can really recommend this mix for anyone with oilier skin who wants to give face oils a try and is a bit scared of using them. This dilutes them, but it will still give you the richness of them without them being too overpowering or too greasy. Now on to sunscreens, and it's another pretty quickly dealt with category, because there is one clear winner in this category as well, which is the Klairs Soft Airy UV Essence with SPF 50+. This water-based sunscreen has the perfect texture for everyday use. It's not greasy at all, not even a little bit. It has a more lotion or emulsion style formula that absorbs just as well as a regular moisturizer. It has zero white cast, zero stickiness, zero tackiness or any residue after you apply it, and it plays well with makeup. I mean, really, how ideal can a sunscreen get? Now, the only thing is that this is not very moisturizing, I would say. It may not be suitable for dry skin types. I would say it works better for oily or up to normal skin types. If you do have dry or very dry skin, I would always recommend the excellent Kecho Ultra Moisturizing Sun Cream. If that one wasn't so pricey, which the Klairs really isn't, because it comes in this massive 80 milliliter tub, tube. I always mix up tub and tube. So 80 mils, and I think it costs around $22. So pretty good deal, because it lasts forever. The Kecho sun cream is a lot pricier. If it wasn't, I would probably always repurchase that one, because the Kecho one is the ideal sunscreen if you ask me. But yeah, it's like twice as expensive almost. But in any case, for 2018, when it comes to new sunscreen discoveries, the Klairs one wins hands down. I have used it pretty much every day ever since I received it. Haven't had any breakouts. It's just been wonderful. Well done, Klairs. And let's move on to sleeping creams. Two favorites for 2018 in this category, although technically one is a bit of a sneaky choice since I discovered it in late 2017 already. So yeah, the often mentioned Klairs Freshly Juiced Vitamin E Mask is truly a holy grail for me ever since late 2017. It has a delicious, bouncy, jello type texture and melts into the skin when you apply it. It is a tad sticky, but to be honest, most sleeping creams are, and it really seems to seal in the hydration provided by all the previous skincare steps. Also, thanks to its high content of niacinamide, it brightens skin overnight so that you can wake up to a plumper, refreshed skin. I can also recommend this as a makeup primer, since foundation seems to stick to it really well. It's not as deeply moisturizing as Claire's always claims. And truthfully, I would mostly recommend it for people with oilier skin types. Normal skin types can probably also use this. If you have dry skin, it still works as a brightening, occlusive sleeping mask, but just don't expect it to replace your moisturizer. I just ordered my second jar of this and I really look forward to finally having this back in my routine. I've been without it for a couple of months now because I couldn't repurchase it. I didn't have the money. And oh, it's one of those products I severely and deeply missed in my routine. Now, my second sleeping cream fave of 2018 is the Calmleaf Rose Sleeping Mask. This one has this super appealing rose jam texture. It's a clear light red gel and it has tiny specks in it, which are actually dried rose petals. It's so fascinating to just put it on the back of your hand and just watch these little specks dissolve when you start rubbing it into the skin. It's just beautiful. This contains rose water and rose extract, and it feels really calming and soothing on the skin. It does not seem to really provide that occlusive layer you kind of want from a sleeping cream, but I greatly enjoyed this as a nighttime moisturizer in the summer. It's a bit richer than normal moisturizing gels, but still light enough to not overwhelm my oily combo skin. And it does seem to have a brightening effect on my skin as well. It's definitely one for warmer climates, I would say. I don't really use it during winter. It's just not rich enough for that, especially overnight. And on to face mists. Hey, we're almost through my list. Yay. Now, longtime listeners of this podcast know how much I love a good face mist. Sadly, I didn't try as many new mists as I would have liked in 2018. And of the ones I've tried, only two really impressed me. And again, a Calmleaf product made the cut. Basically, all three Calmleaf Rose products I've tried, I've also ended up loving. The Calmleaf Rose Blooming Mist contains, of course, mostly rose water, which is known for its hydrating and skin-soothing properties. I love using this mist after a workout at the gym to calm down my super red face, because I'm a sweater and I'm also very unathletic, so I don't look very nice after a gym workout. And this really helps calm down my aggravated skin. I can't say that it helps against the redness, but I don't think anything does after a workout session, at least for me. The mist is really fine and the nozzle never clogged, which is rare really, and I quite enjoy that. If I think about the Pyunkon Yul mist toner, for instance, that one didn't work after a while anymore. I wasn't that impressed with that one anyway. That was one of the disappointments of the year for me, to be honest. The Calmleaf one I liked a lot better. And the other face mist I really liked this year is the Igyam PLC solution. This one is very different from any other face mist I've ever tried. It's not really hydrating as such. It almost feels more like, okay, this is really hard to describe, but almost like a dry mist, you know, when you spray on deodorant. Okay, that doesn't maybe sound that appealing, but hear me out. What I'm trying to say is that when you spray on this mist, it doesn't leave these drops of liquid like most water-based mists, but rather seems to create a mattifying effect on the skin. And it also instantly disappears into the skin pretty much. It also hydrates and calms down the skin noticeably. It really helped soothing my overheated skin during the worst of the heat wave. It's just a really lovely mist for oilier skin types, and it contains Centella Asiatica, among other soothing ingredients, so it's really nice again if you have that overheated red face. The PLC solution was actually created to support the skin's healing process after laser treatments and plastic surgery, so you can guess how soothing and gentle this is. I really enjoyed this face mist, and I was very sad when it was empty, because you see, the one negative thing about this one is that it's almost impossible to get outside of Korea. I really hope this will change this year, because I wouldn't mind repurchasing this. Now, if you want really intense hydration, then go for the Calmleaf one. But if you want a bit of a mattifying effect and need really strong calming down and soothing, then go for the PLC solution. And now for some honorable mentions outside of any category, just products that I liked and I wasn't quite sure where to place them, to be honest. Now, firstly, the Claire's Midnight Blue Calming Cream needs to be mentioned here. It's not really a new discovery of 2018. I've been using it for probably 2 years now, but Claire's being as good as they are, or rather Wishtrend, which is the company behind Claire's, they listened to customer feedback, and this year they finally released the calming cream in a larger tube instead of that small jar, which I always found sound really annoying because it's really hard to scrape out the last bits of it. Jars are always a little bit unhygienic anyway, even though they make for great textured shots on Instagram. And especially with that cream, which is predominantly for sensitive skin, it's really important, I find, to have a more hygienic solution. And the new larger tube is a lot better when it comes to that. Whether you go for that small jar, that 50ml jar, or the large, I think it's 60ml tube. In any case, this cream is just such a skincare staple for me. It is really the perfect SOS solution for so many skin problems, redness, breakouts, your skin just freaking out, sunburn. It calms down skin beautifully overnight. I usually use it like a sleeping cream. I don't really see it being like a moisturizer. A couple of people have started using it like a moisturizer. For me, it's an extra product. And yeah, I usually use it like a sleeping cream as a last layer on top of all the other layers. And again, usually around that time of the month when my skin just freaks out. And my skin always looks so much better the next day. The next honorary mention is a product that I wasn't sure where to put category-wise, but I really do want to talk about it here because I loved it. And yes, it is the third Comleaf product mentioned in this episode. It's the Comleaf Rose Moisture Pad. If you only want to get one Comleaf product to see what the fuss with this Instagram famous brand is all about, I would advise you to get the toner pads. They're the best ones out of the three ones, or I think I tried four things. These ones are the best ones. These toner pads are really convenient. You just grab one and wipe your face with these nicely gloopy essence soaked toner pads. They really feel super hydrating, just really pleasant on the skin, probably because of the winning combo of rose water, hyaluronic acid, and propolis contained in them. It's a wonderful mix of ingredients. The ingredients list is really delicious, and I have adored using them. I do kind of wish they would put more pads into one tub because there was so much essence left after I'd used up the pads. I think it was they were 30 pads. It was kind of awkward then scooping out the rest of the essence, but otherwise this toner slash essence treatment was an absolute fave of mine throughout the year. One of the most loved products from 2018, I would say. Loved it. Love Comleaf. Can't wait to see what else they're going to release this year. And then I can't not discuss the excellent J1 Henna Jelly Pack. I really didn't use as much makeup as I have done during other years, as I've said before. And it's mostly because, to be honest, I've not been very social this year. And I had really long periods of finding dressing up and putting on my face very, very difficult. So most days it was kind of just a bit of powder, eyebrow pencil, and mascara. And sometimes even no mascara. Oops. Definitely no full face foundation routine. Ain't nobody got time for that, even though I do have time, but I didn't have the patience for it. And I was a bit of a hermit this year. So what's the point, to be honest? But whenever I did take the time to put on full face of makeup, I have been loving the J1 Jelly Primer as a foundation base. This is a bit tricky to work with at first because it has a very sticky, almost glue-like texture that can be a bit confusing if you don't quite expect it, I guess. I've heard that from people who just didn't quite know how to get on with this or how to even get it on the face. See, the trick is that you should put it on your fingertips first, or maybe in the palm of your hand, and you need to roll it around a little bit or rub it around a bit to warm it up, and it starts getting a lot more pliable. And then you kind of, this is hard to describe, you kind of roll it onto your face. I always start around the nose area and then the forehead, and then work my way from the inner part of the face outside. So you do a kind of rolling motion, and by that you very slowly make the jelly melt into the skin, and that creates the perfect canvas for your foundation. The effect is beautiful once it is on your face. If you work with the warmth of your skin, and if you really do this slight rolling motion and make sure that the jelly melts into your face, you do avoid all the pilling or balling up that other people people might talk about when they talk about this product. It's all about the way you apply it. I just get annoyed when people say, this doesn't work, this is horrible. No, it's actually fantastic. You just have to learn how to use it. It's awesome. I also really need to mention the Arborian CC cream here because I've been so impressed with it. Arborian Germany kindly sent me both their regular CC cream and their newer anti-redness CC cream. I like both of them a lot, but I would say the regular CC cream is my favorite. It is a little bit more glowy and I prefer that, to be honest. I think if you are younger than, say, roughly around like teens and 20s, then I think the redness one is better. But for more mature skin types, it is just a little bit more flattering, the finish of the regular CC cream. This gives a very natural and more sheer finish, but since it contains light reflecting particles, the finish is so flattering. It makes my skin glow without it looking too shiny, and it's not glittery at all, like so many of these types of glowy, dewy creams. It's just a stunning lit from within candlelight glow. It's wonderful. I really, really loved it. I loved it more, I would say, than any of my actual makeups. I feel in general that the older I get, the less I actually want full coverage, which is quite interesting because you would think that once you age and your skin has more and more problems looking young and fresh, you start to cover up more. But I find that you become kind of, I don't know, you don't give as much of a damn anymore when it comes to showing certain flaws. It's one of the great things about aging, to be honest. When I was a teen and in my early 20s, the stuff that I thought were flaws in my face, I now realize was really nothing. I was just completely overthinking it. I actually had pretty good skin, which is always something I try to tell younger girls, especially. I just want to say that acne you're talking about, it's nothing. You are overthinking it. It's just a tiny bit of breakout. We can deal with that, but don't think you need to cover up completely. Just work with a BB cream, work with a CC cream, a tiny bit of powder. Please, you don't need 3 layers of full coverage Estee Lauder double wear foundation plus concealer plus all of that stuff. Your skin is gorgeous and it will never be as beautiful and plump and fresh and juicy as it is now. Celebrate that. Be happy about that. But alas, I think you can only realize how good you had it once you are a little bit older. That's just what happens. But in any case, the Arborian CC creams, fantastic. And lastly, I want to talk about one other key beauty discovery of 2018 that truly surprised me in a very wonderful way. I really fell in love with the Wamisa hair care products. Again, more people need to talk about these. I feel I'm the only blogger who even mentions them. And guys, these are so good. I was lucky enough to be able to try out the Wamisa Organic Seeds Shampoo for Dry Scalp. This is a massive bottle that they sent me as a PR sample. I think I've now used it for something like 3 or 4 months and it's still not empty, which is good because I need to have this in my life. I am not using any other shampoo at the moment and haven't for, yeah, ever since I started the Wamisa shampoo because it's so good. It's perfect for me. This is sulfate-free, silicone-free. All the Wamisa hair care products are, and it contains organic oils, gentle cleansing agents that do not strip the hair, as well as, of course, fermented plant extracts. The most prominent being oat and barley. And barley, of course, is known as a great hair vitalizer. Did you know that German women used to rinse their hair with beer because of that? It strengthens hair and makes it more resistant to breakage. Of course, if you use beer, then the smell is a bit of a problem. And yes, I have tried this. I've never tried it again, to be honest. But the barley works very well. Another product to mention here is the Wamisa Hair Essence. This is a leave-in treatment that both softens and conditions hair, but it also seems to provide a bit of texture and bounce to my curls. Love this one. I had a small travel size of this and it still took me almost 2 months to finish it. So that shows you how long it lasts. You really only need a tiny amount. And I do have very thick hair. So if you have thinner hair, then it will probably last you longer. In fact, it's quite easy to overdose this. I would always just use a tiny amount. It smells delicious. It's all organic. It's stress-free. It detangles hair. I really need to actually repurchase this. I just don't know if I can afford the full size. Once you do have the full size, it probably lasts you a whole year or something like that. But you know, it's something you have to budget for. before. Maybe for my birthday. I'll keep it on the wish list. For sure, Wamisa was one of those top K-beauty brands of 2018 for me. I would say Comleaf was another one. And Claire's has continued to impress me. I know some people don't like Claire's because they use essential oils, but I have loved so many of their products. And I do think they are getting more aware of people not liking essential oils. The unscented toner, I think, is a step in the right direction because more and more people really don't want fragrance or alcohol in their skincare. And even though I don't mind it too much, I really understand why people don't want it because it does not really add anything to the skincare as such. It doesn't bring any sort of effect. It's just nice when something smells nice. But again, I think I'm old-fashioned that way. And that's it for 2018. We can now officially say goodbye to it. These were my K-beauty favorites of the year 2018. And I wonder if you agree with my choices. What were your favorites? As always, I welcome comments on my blog or on my Instagram. I really love hearing from you. So many of you have been so kind to me throughout November and December. I had many messages reach me. It's so lovely. Never feel that I don't appreciate it. It actually sometimes makes me really emotional. In a good way, mind you. Now, if any of the products mentioned here today intrigued you, but you're not sure where to find the products and my odd pronunciation of brand names makes it impossible for you to write them down, you can find all the products mentioned here linked in this week's episode notes, which you can find, as always, on my blog, Sugar Peaches Loves, which is at sugarpeachesloves.net. Don't be scared by all the German content. The podcast notes are always in English, and I always link to them in the little podcast description on your podcast platform of choice. So you only have to click on the links. You're directly there. Just ignore the scary German. Also, don't forget to follow the podcast Twitter at KeyBeautyPodcast to never miss an episode or any other news that I might retweet or tweet there. My Instagram account is sugarpeachesloves. And guys, I'm so excited because I got new fancy lighting equipment from my mom for Christmas. So I feel I'm totally upgrading my Instagram images. So excited to create new pics during the coming weeks. So please check it out. You can catch this podcast either on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can listen to all the K-Beauty podcast episodes on my blog or on Podbean, which is my podcast hosting platform. If you feel that this podcast has been helpful to you in any way, if you're enjoying it, please share it with people who you think may also enjoy it, and consider giving it a 5-star review if you have the time. This is still the best way to support me. The more people rate a podcast, the more people leave actual written reviews, especially, of course, if they are 5-star, but you know, that's your choice, what you want to write. The more likely iTunes will recommend it to people who are already listening to other beauty podcasts, say the Snailcast. Now, if you want to support my work as a blogger, content creator, and podcaster in a more fiscal way, then you can use the affiliate links provided in the podcast episode notes and my blog articles when you make your beauty purchases. Many of you already do this, and I'm so grateful for this. Thank you so much. You can also donate money directly to my Ko-fi page, which I will link in the episode notes. It's a one-time PayPal donation, roughly the amount that a takeaway coffee would cost. Thank you to the kind person who did this after my last episode, and a special thank you for the sweet message you wrote. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, queries, topic suggestions, or you are a brand and are interested in co-creating with me, you can email me at sugarpeachesloves@gmail.com. I wish you a wonderful beginning to what I truly hope will be a kinder, warmer, and more positive 2019 for all of us. 2018, I actually think it was worse than 2016. I don't know how you feel. It was not a good year for me, that's for sure. And I'm hoping for the best for the new year. We'll see each other again soon, for sure, to talk about all things K-beauty in 2019. Until then, happy masking, layering, and patting. Bye. Take care, and thank you. Bye.